Mark Twain, How I Edited an Agricultural Paper, Part 2. The story is adapted for the TOEFL program by Georgie Panev.
I decided that since I was crazy, I had to kill someone. It would have to happen sometime anyway. I reread one paragraph from your newspaper to be sure, then set fire to my house and ran away. I injured several people on the way and pushed one guy up a tree. I'll get him out of there once I need him. But passing by your office, I decided to come to you to make sure once and for all that I was crazy. But now I see that I'm not crazy. And the guy sitting in the tree was lucky today. I'm not going to kill him. You took a great burden away from my soul. If my mind could withstand your articles on agriculture, then nothing can destroy it anymore. Goodbye, sir.
I felt a little unwell because of the injuries and arson that this man had enjoyed because I felt my connection with his crimes. But I immediately threw away these thoughts when I saw that a permanent editor had come to the office. I thought to myself, if you had gone to Egypt, as I recommended, you wouldn't be bothering me now. But you came here instead of Egypt. However, I had to expect it. The editor looked sad. He looked at the mess left by that old man and two young farmers and then said,
"It's terrible. A bottle of glue, a spittoon, and two candlesticks were broken. And I also see six pieces of glass. But that's not the worst of it. The newspaper's reputation has suffered, and I'm afraid that forever. However, I must say that the newspaper has never been in such demand before. It has never been sold in such big numbers and has never become so famous. But is it possible to get glory through madness and stupidity? My friend, I want to tell you the street is full of people, some even sitting on fences, waiting to look at you. They think you're crazy. And most likely, they are right. Actually, it is impossible to make any other conclusion after reading your agricultural articles. You shamed journalism. Why did you decide that you could be the editor of an agricultural newspaper? It seems you are not even familiar with the elementary concepts of agriculture. You don't distinguish a plow from a scythe. You are writing about the molting season of cows. You recommend taming a polar cat because of its playfulness and because it catches rats perfectly. Your remark that mollusks would lie quietly if the music was turned on for them was unnecessary, completely unnecessary. Nothing bothers mollusks. They always lie quietly. Mollusks are completely indifferent to music. Oh, heavens, my friend. I've never seen anything like it. And your remark that horse chestnut is steadily increasing in price can destroy this newspaper forever. I want you to leave immediately. I don't need a vacation anymore. I won't be able to enjoy it while you occupy the editor's chair at this newspaper. I'm even afraid to imagine what you would advise readers in the next newspaper issue. I go crazy when I remember what you wrote about oyster beds in the landscape gardening section. In short, I want you to leave. No one in the world can convince me to go on vacation again. Why didn't you tell me you don't understand anything about agriculture?
Why didn't I tell you, the son of cauliflower, that I don't know anything about agriculture? Yes, this is the first time I have heard that such a thing should be said. I have been working in journalism for 14 years, and I only heard from you that someone must know something to edit a newspaper. Oh, you are a turnip. Who writes about the theater for second-rate newspapers? A bunch of shoemakers and pharmacists' assistants. They know as much about good acting as I do about farming. Who reviews books? People who have never written anything. Who writes the most popular financial articles? People with a hole in their pocket. Who writes about the Indian Wars? Those are the gentlemen who don't know the name of an Indian's house. They've never even seen a tomahawk. Who calls for abstinence and writes about the dangers of drunkenness? People who will calm down and sober up only in the grave. Therefore, who edits agricultural newspapers? Losers who were unlucky to become poets or write a novel even for the tabloid press. They couldn't do sensations, drama, or even be a city observer. Therefore, They come to work in a rural newspaper, hoping to stay in it only for a short time. Are you trying to tell me something about the newspaper business?
Huh, sir, I know everything about it, from A to Z. And I tell you, the less a person knows, the more noise he makes and earns more. God knows, if I was ignorant and arrogant instead of educated and humble, I could become very famous in this cold and selfish world. I'm leaving, sir. You have offended me and have been very unfair to me. It doesn't make sense to stay here. But I have fulfilled my promises. I fulfilled my contract as much as I was allowed to do. I promised I would make your newspaper interesting for all population segments, and I did it. I promised I would increase the circulation to 20,000 copies. And I would have done it if I had 2 more weeks. And I would give you the best readers an agricultural newspaper has ever had. There would not be a single farmer among them, not a single person who could distinguish a watermelon tree from a peach branch, even to save his life. It is not I, but you who will lose because of my leaving. Oh, you are a turnip bush. Goodbye. And I left.
Samuel Langhorne Clemens is Mark Twain's real name. He left a very bright mark on world literature. Twain wrote in many genres, from humor and satire to fiction and journalism. Such books as The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, The Prince and the Pauper, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, have gained worldwide fame and have been filmed in many countries around the world. The writer has always taken an active civic position. Due to this, American censorship sometimes temporarily banned some of his stories. The writer was born in 1835 in the state of Florida. In addition to literary work, Mark Twain was fond of science, playing billiards, and smoking a lot. They said that there was always thick tobacco smoke in the writer's office, which made it difficult to see the owner. Some of Twain's sayings have become very famous. For example, when the New York Journal mistakenly printed an obituary about his death in 1891, the writer said, "The report of my death was an exaggeration." In the last years of his life, Twain was depressed. Shortly before his death, he said, "I came in with Halley's Comet in 1835. It is coming again next year, and I expect to go out with it." And so it happened. The writer died in Reading, Connecticut, on April 21, 1910. The writer was buried at Woodlawn Cemetery in Elmira, New York.